Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with a Snap podcast. I'm your host, Jay File. Co-host Tyler Hayward will be on momentarily as we'll talk to Michigan State and Michigan basketball this season. Looking forward to this show. Very excited about it. Tyler had a very good preseason All Big Ten list. It was posted on our Facebook page, Trouble with Snap podcast. You can look that up on Facebook if you'd like. Obviously, not much of a debate as far as who we think the player of the year will be. Cassius Winston. We're going to dive into basketball today. I don't want to get into the Curtis Blackwell, Michigan State debacle. I don't want to strike a chord on that. We'll get to that another day. That's a huge topic as well. But look, let's talk something positive. Let's talk basketball. And then hopefully me and Tyler can have a wonderful debate on the Curtis Blackwell, Michigan State debacle, because it really is. I mean, at this point, we don't want to get over the top with it. There's a lot of good things to talk about with Michigan State and with Michigan. Let's try to get on that. As far as quick preview in basketball, you know, I'm going to stay with Michigan first. I think this is a very important year for Juwan Howard, because I think what it does is, because of the players you have and you haven't recruited yet, it's still very important to prove that you can coach basketball, that you can be a good head coach, that you can take what you have and you can win games, you can get to the NCAA tournament, and you can prove that, yes, I can win with whatever I have. And I think that's going to go a long ways for Michigan basketball, because, look, you can say all you want. You could say, hey, when he gets his players, or, you know, when he recruits well, they'll be really good. It's not what it is here. You are taking over from a coach who won with less. You know, they didn't have a lot of big recruiting classes. You have a program that won a certain way, and if you want to go further than that, you have to, this year, prove that with Xavier Simpson, with Isaiah Livers, John Teske, you can win Big Ten basketball games at a high rate, and you can go far. You have to do that. I mean, I think at this point, you lose a lot. They're not going to be the same contender that they were last year. It's just not going to happen, guys. I got news for you, Michigan fans. It's not going to be there. But you have to have a good season. You can't come in and not make the NCAA tournament. You just can't. Now, does that mean he should be out and he's a terrible coach? No, but I think that what that proves is we have lost a good coach. We don't have a ton of talent. How can we recruit when we're not winning? Now, it's been done in the past, but it hasn't been done the right way. You got to look at no further than when Bill Frieder was there and they recruited really, really well. Steve Fisher took over a program that was really good, star-studded, wins the national championship in 89, giving you a little history lesson here. The next few years, kind of a dud, not that good. Early NCAA exit, and then NIT the next year. So you got to recruit. What happens? The Fab Five comes in, but we had the turmoil after that. We had the bad effects after that, with the violations, and then what happens, we really went downhill in recruiting. So this is a very important season for Michigan basketball. We're past that. We've had success under John Beilein, but at some point, you have to say to Juwan Howard, look, you do have to win now. You're inheriting a program that was a winner, and this is a big year. I got Tyler on with me now. Tyler, I'm talking Michigan first before we get into the list, obviously. I want your quick thoughts here. My statement is Juwan Howard doesn't get a pass here. You have to win even with what you have now. I don't want to hear about recruiting yet. Look, you got a couple guys who've been pretty successful. You got to win now.
Well, I mean, I think he's got, like, a couple of the pieces in place. I mean, the bottom line, though, is, you want him to win now, and he should win now, but by now I don't think you necessarily mean this year, and that's just due to, you know, just collegiate attrition. I mean, Matthews Poole and Biggie are all gone. And as far as recruits go, it's not the greatest class in the world. To expect them to win this year, I think may be a little far-fetched. But the one bad year doesn't automatically decide whether or not a program is going to go up or down. And so if he does have a mediocre season this year and then, you know, making the tournament as a solid piece.
Well, what's mediocre, though? I want your opinion on that, Tyler. Sorry for cutting you off. But what's mediocre for Michigan this season?
This season? I mean, look, this team is I want to say 8 or 9 seed just because the Big Ten is so tough. You know, if you finish and ultimately you don't see a lot of high major programs end up much lower than that for the most part. But if you end up like in 8 or 9, maybe one of those 10 seeded play-in games or something along those lines. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Michigan's going to go that low, but I think that should be the minimum bar that they set this season. I mean, because you do have a new coach. You've got your three guys who are supposed to be leading the team, Isaiah Livers, John Teske, and Xavier Simpson. You got those guys who are – they're all learning a new system. This is Livers' first season starting. Like, you're not returning a lot of scoring, ultimately. You know, where are the points going to come from? I think that's the biggest question mark for Michigan coming into this season. I think the defense should still be stellar. Teske's a good shot blocker. Xavier Simpson's just, you know, I mean, he's an all-Big Ten defensive caliber guy. I think at some point, though, you do need to put buckets on the board, and I don't know if Michigan's capable of doing that. I think new coach, new system, the fact they lost all those buckets for the most part, it's the opportunity for Juwan Howard to show what he's capable of doing, but at the same time, like, next season, I think it's going to – not this upcoming season, but next season is going to be his point where he needs to start winning, just because, like I said, the program isn't necessarily in shambles.
I think at this point – you know, you're spot on with the seeding in the NCAA tournament. That is what he needs to do. I mean, I think with this team, they need to at least be at that level, absolutely. I'm not expecting – look, I'm not a brain surgeon here, but I think I'm smart enough to realize that, look, it's really simple. Michigan needs to make the NCAA tournament. That's the bar for me this year
right,
with this team. So in my opinion, that helps you with recruiting, where you say, look, we're continuing to get to the tournament. We're a player or two away, just like they have been for so many years, where, hey, we just need a couple players, and then maybe we can make a good run like they have with Beeline. At this point, here's the scary part for Michigan basketball. You know, is people think they're bad now? Well, I'd argue that Xavier Simpson's going to be gone after this year. So you might be saying, you can say all you want about the future's bright. Is it? I mean, at this point, they haven't really landed anyone huge. I think Zeb Jackson, who's from Toledo, is going to be great. He's a great player.
Oh, don't forget, Julius showed some signs last season too. So
Sure. But I just think what you got to realize, if you're a Michigan fan, that – you want to see a good season now, and then you want to build off that and get a little better, just like you did under Beeline. I think, look, I blame myself. I'm like many. I think we didn't take full advantage or give John Beeline enough credit. I think all of us who are smart people would say, boy, we really took that guy for granted, because we all did. That was a very good basketball program under John Beeline. Every year you knew. There were some slip-up years, don't get me wrong. But they just were very successful. I mean, when you're on a program that hasn't won much, and you win back-to-back Big Ten tournament titles, and then you go to an NCAA championship game, that's a big deal. And Juwan Howard's got some big shoes to fill, man. And I'll be honest with you, I'm calling it early, I'm calling it now. I think it's going to be a dud. I think it's going to be very similar to John Beeline's NBA experience. I don't think they're going to recruit as good as people think. I think it's much different now. And I know, look, I hope I'm wrong. I've been wrong quite a bit this year in basketball. But I just don't see it, Todd. I don't see them out-recruiting anyone. I think Michigan State still recruits much better. Then you got to compete against the Duke and Kentuckys. And you also got to coach well. I mean, let's be honest, man. John Beilein was a tactician on offense. And I don't know what this guy is yet.
Right, and that, I mean, that's the biggest thing is we don't know what he is, and so it's really hard to make a judgment, and it's hard to have high expectations. I mean, I saw, one of your favorite writers from our area say this is a middle-of-the-pack team, and it's hard to really give these guys high expectations because, like I said, they've lost a lot of the scoring. They lost the guys who can make the one-on-one plays. And again, you don't know what Juwan Howard's going to bring to the table. I think ultimately he'll be an all right recruiter just because of what the Fab Five, did for college basketball. And I think, his name is going to be enough to get parents to say, hey, look at this guy, I mean, plus he played 20 years in the NBA. So, he may know what he's talking about. Is that enough to bring those recruits? There are his friendships with current NBA players. I mean, you look at what Michigan State did, bringing in Jaren Jackson. Would that have been different had Juwan Howard already been at Michigan? Would Jaren Jackson maybe lean a little bit towards the maize and blue? Just because Jaren Jackson and Juwan Howard played in the league at the same time, they know each other. Does that type of thing happen? I don't know. You might get one or two guys like that, but I mean, I know the first thing once Juwan Howard's name got brought up was, oh my God, we're going to get Dwayne Wade and LeBron James kid. I don't think it's going to go that far, but I think
it's not going to happen.
Just because he played with, he dressed like he was going to play with them for Miami, and then he was ultimately just an assistant coach. But I don't think it's going to go that far, but at the same time, I think it might help him out a little bit in that regard. So I think the recruits will come. I mean, like we said, Beilein built up a pretty good program in Michigan, a very good program in Michigan. This year might, like I said, it's going to take a hit, but I think in the long run, they'll be good. They'll live up to the expectation. As long as your expectations not national championship, but you'll get Sweet 16 appearances, you'll get Elite Eight, you might get a couple Final Fours sprinkled in there, but I don't know if the championship level consistency is going to be there. We don't know what his full investment is. I mean, obviously, it's easy to say, oh, he's all about the program, but we don't know what his full investment is to the program. We, if an NBA job comes calling, if an official assistant head coach position becomes available in the NBA, would he jump ship? We don't know anything really about this right now. I tend to lean towards that he'll stick around for the long haul. I tend to think that he'll lean towards keeping the program where it is as far as perennial contender. But, I mean, it's all wait and see, and it's wait and see ultimately what recruits say about this first season, which, I mean, he's got his back against the wall.
I think it's very important for Michigan people to understand something, and I think it's also very important for Michigan State people to understand this. Michigan basketball has really been good. They've been very, very good. I think people don't realize it. That's a problem I have because in the world of let's overhype Harbaugh and football for no damn reason, we seem to forget that we should be hyping up this basketball program that actually has things to prove that it's a winner. And I think that Juwan Howard coming in makes sense if we want to get the hype train up. But what needs to happen is we need to realize how we won, and we won by – being very, very fundamentally sound. We didn't out-recruit Michigan State ever. We did beat them, though. We did beat better teams that were on paper better than us in the Big Ten. And you look at the success, Tyler. I mean, it's really hard to not note it. 2013, you get to the NCAA championship game. The year before you won the Big Ten, you shared it with Michigan State and Ohio State. You have the early exit, of course. But the next year when they lost Burke, they went to the Elite Eight. They went to the Elite Eight with a freshman point guard by the name of Derek Walton Jr. I mean, this is a program that has really won a lot. And then you get the back-to-back Big Ten tournament championships in the last few years. You get to the NCAA championship two years ago. You could say whatever you want, but my gosh, this is a program that was very, very close to be considered at an elite Michigan State level. And a couple of years you sprinkle in, they were better. So, I mean, at some point you have to sit back and go, Michigan basketball, guys, is the real deal. I don't want to talk about football at a high level no more. I'm done with it. I want to talk about how can we get bigger names in so we can get even further ahead. They're not going to be able to out-recruit Michigan State. It's just not going to happen. So my concern with Juwan Howard and his staff is, what can you do with players who are not rated higher? What can you do to develop them? You are NBA players. This is an NBA staff. You got Howard Eisley. Juwan Howard played in the NBA. Saudi Washington, great player. You have Martelli, who's the godfather, they say. You've got to develop kids. And I think they have enough players already where you got to get to the NCAA tournament, maybe shock some people, get to the Sweet 16 still, and then you got to get a couple little pieces like they have. And I'll tell you, man, those are big shoes, man. These are big shoes to fill if you are the coaches at Michigan, because you are replacing a very good coach who did a lot of good things. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I want to jump right into State now, though, because obviously we know what to expect with Michigan State. Tyler, we'll get to the list at the end of the show. I do want to talk more preview just Michigan State, obviously. We've been talking about the power forward deal. I love Bingham. Sure. I know there's a lot of lineup deals that you like. And talk about that, though, because I think it's very important, that position, like who they start, and give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think Bingham was always kind of the front runner in my mind. You know, 6'11", power forward, put on the deck. I mean, obviously, he's all skin and bone. And that's going to be a little bit of an issue, because we did see him get bullied a little bit last season. And I think Izzo's starting to look at other options just in regards to that, because I don't think Bingham was I don't think he developed as much as we were kind of hoping he would. And he's, at the same time, though, I mean, they do have other options. We talked about Thomas Kitzier maybe sliding over. You know what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get a very solid player. Knows what he's doing out there. A little slower, I'd say, but, you know, Kitzier can play that role. Izzo also talked about the freshman. One lineup that I thought was really interesting that Izzo mentioned was maybe putting Gabe Brown at the four. And I mean, I don't know what to think about that. I mean, Gabe Brown, Aaron Henry, and Josh Langford are all great rebounding guards. But that's it. Gabe Brown is a guard, you know, or a small forward. And
sure.
I think that
sure trained like a guard all offseason.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If we're going to sit there and we're going to put this three-point shooter in to stretch the floor, which I don't doubt that Michigan State will do. You know, if you sit there and you need a three-pointer, you know, you're not, even though Tillman kind of worked on it last season, you're still not putting Tillman in. You can run Bingham, Brown, Arn, Plankford, and Winston out there. I mean, you know, I'll take my chances with that lineup, but I think Brown is more suited to play on the wing, and if you move Brown over to the four, I think that thins you out a little bit at the guard position at the wing, unless you plan on bumping one of the freshmen, Paul or Marble. If you plan on bumping one, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but one of them has the ability to play a little bit of three as well, so if you plan on moving Brown over to accommodate him, then to accommodate one of the freshmen. I don't like the move, but, I mean, just because I feel like you get better rebounding out of the freshman than you would Gabe Brown. I think Gabe, you talked about how, you know, Bingham's all skin and bones. Gabe Brown was like that last season, but I don't think he put on weight, and he looks really good right now. I don't know if moving him would be the greatest idea, just as he was starting to come along late last season as a two or three.
Yeah, no, I think Gabe Brown, I mean, look, I follow training all the time, so he trains out here, and I've seen him in with videos with Imani Bates. First thing I yelled was, recruiting violations! Just kidding. But anyway, as the Michigan fan. But no, the way they trained, it was like, okay. I mean, a lot of ball handling, and it looked good. But I look at how Tom Izzo is, and honestly, if I was Gabe Brown with my size, I would be like, I need to play like Brandon Dawson. I need to get stronger, and I need to be that 3-4 physical player because Tom loves that anyway. And I just think that they're not going to use him as a guard as much as he probably would hope. He is a good shooter. He can handle the ball outstanding. I mean, he's really a guard. I mean, he is. But when you have Rocket Watts, you have – yeah, when you have Cassius Winston, you got Langford. And let's just be honest, as much as I love Tom, I mean, he's very stuck in his ways. I mean, he's going to want you to play a role. And I still think Aaron Henry is a better guard. And there's not a whole lot of room for Gabe Brown to just kind of go out there and do whatever he wants on the wing or at the guard position. So a great thing for him was to play physical, play great defense, rebound the ball at an alarming rate. And, yeah, man, you might be playing the four and you might be seeing the floor at least, though. But I just love Bingham. I think with his size and his ability to stretch the floor because he can shoot, and his length on defense, it's so Jaren Jackson-like, and even bigger, even wider with the wingspan. I love it. The opportunity for him to step in is huge at the four. I know Kyle Arnes has been brought up a lot. I really hope he has a strong season because, I mean, we know the struggles he's had. But, you know, they've mentioned him even playing a little bit at the four, and he's the type of guy that's going to do it. I mean, he's going to work hard.
That's one I don't like because Kyle Arnes, you know, Michigan State a couple seasons ago had a lot of injuries up front. And Kyle Arnes got kind of thrown into that four spot, and it was a disaster, if we're being completely honest. And so I don't know if I like that at all. I think Gabe Brown would be a better fit. Like I said, Izzo usually likes to run the three-man rotation up front, but with what you were kind of saying is, I think where they decide to play Rocket Watts is going to be the deciding factor. Because if you play Watts at a point guard, if you have him back up Cassius Winston, if you feel like he's capable of taking over Foster Lawyer's position on the team, I think, I mean, then you have Winford and Henry will obviously be your starters, but then Arnes and Brown would be your two backup wings in that scenario. And so Brown would have plenty of opportunities to play, even if he is on the wing. So I think that a lot of that really dependent on where they want to play Watts and where they want to play Hall.
Sure. No, I think Hall is going to play a lot. You mentioned that the other day, and you were spot on. If you want to call the show, 858-956-3207, that's the guest call-in. We're going to start opening up lines more. And me and Tyler will try not to go too hard on you, Spartan or Wolverine fans, but a healthy debate is good. Tyler already gave me the business when I brought up the Curtis Blackwell.
Well, let's not talk about that right now. Let's just...
Well, I talked about it when you weren't on. When you were not on yet, I mentioned it. So I snuck it in. I didn't say anything bad. You'd be happy because all I said was it would be a debate that we talk about eventually. But I'm not talking about
eventually.
It today. I'm feeling good about, eventually it might not even happen. It depends if Tyler.
Yeah, so anyways, I think Gabe Brown, I mean, he's a great option, utility knife type player. You know, we didn't even talk about Cassius Winston yet. Can we talk about the player of the year, please?
Let's talk about something that's actually positive. Let's go to the list, though. I mean, you posted the list of all Big Ten preseason performers. You know how high I am on Wesson from Ohio State. I think he's going to do great. You had Xavier Simpson, second team, which I thought was interesting because I really wonder how his season's going to go. But let's jump into Cassius, man. I mean, why wouldn't we not? He was so fantastic last year. The way he just ran the show was so much fun to watch. I mean, even for me, I mean, you see me live front and center at the Duke game. I mean, he was so much fun. Everything he did was the difference in that game, especially in that 9-0 run where he basically was the guy that did everything. Let's talk about him, man. He's special. I know that you're not looking forward to him maybe breaking Mateen Cleave's record. with the assist deal. But hey, let's talk about the MVP, man.
I think that this season's going to be even better for him. I don't know if he'll necessarily put up the numbers, and there was a couple of reasons why. I said, look, him winning preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, that's obviously something that has to happen because he was the undisputed Player of the Year last season. But at the same time, you know, Josh Langford's coming back, and Josh Langford, prior to him going down with an injury, was averaging 16 points a game. Winston, obviously, he'll get his looks. Tom Izzo didn't even know what Cassius Winston was capable of doing until Langford went down, and he admitted that. But I think Langford's going to get a couple of those buckets. I think Cassius isn't going to have to play as much, given the experience on the rest of the team. Plus, you throw in the fact that Izzo's mentioned that he's really been impressed with the way Watts has been playing defense. And so
he's a great defender.
My ideal lineup would include having Watts be your backup point guard. Well, Foster Lawyer's biggest issue is he's just not as athletic enough to hang with certain teams defensively. That was his biggest hang up. And so I think that bringing in Watts and having him be a backup point guard, it would save Cassius Winston on some of his minutes. It would give him a break. It would allow him to be fresh because at the end of the season, I mean, we all know how he was. I mean, he could hardly walk at the end of the season. His knees.
You don't want to overuse him either.
Were so bad, and I mean, that was Michigan State's biggest issue was they were playing him 38, 39 minutes a game. Sometimes 42 minutes, and the game wouldn't even go into overtime. This is what they were playing him. So,
yeah, no, he was overused, absolutely. I want to jump on that real quick because I want to read this list that you put together, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah, he was overused last year. I mean, you don't want to be in that situation where you play him 35 to 40 minutes multiple games back-to-back-to-back like they did last year. I mean, the Purdue game at Purdue was the big one. Like, wow, he's the only one out there doing anything. And it just looked like, you know, you're going to take an L, which they did, but it looked like he was just burnt out. But I want to read this list. I mean, we'll go second team first, and there's a couple interesting ones on there. You know, obviously you put Xavier Simpson from Michigan. Ayo Dasunmu, I know I pronounced it wrong, but I remember Ayo from last year in Illinois. He is a special player, and I would not be surprised if he could be in that first team. They're very high on Illinois. Everybody is. They think that Illinois is going to have a breakout year, and I tend to agree. They're a tough team, and they're very guard-driven. And then Josh Langford, obviously, another guard in the second team. Lamar Stevens, Penn State. Xavier Tillman, who's going to have a great year. I think Langford, I'm still on the fence, Tyler, just because, you know, we don't know. But I think that he's still going to be a big-time piece for them. And then let's go right into your first team with Cassius, obviously, preseason player of the year. Noel Eastern from Purdue, who's a very good guard. I think Anthony Collin, I would argue him and AO from like that could be back and forth on which one would be first team. So, I mean, really, your whole list is outstanding. But,
yeah, I was back and forth between Eastern and AO.
Yeah, I mean, that's hit or miss. I mean, we'll just kind of see what happens. But Jalen Smith, a for sure, in my opinion, and Caleb Wesson, a for sure. But your whole list, I mean, you could just kind of – you could put Tillman almost in front of Jalen Smith. I mean, you could put Josh Langford in front of Collin possibly. I mean, you could have three Sparties in the first team if things go the way they should. And Xavier Simpson, I think the jury's out still. I mean, I think you have to score. You have to be able to put points on the board. And he was good last year. I mean, that beautiful hook shot that makes me cringe but goes in a lot. He has to shoot better from outside. We know that. We know that part. Mm-hmm. But he is a great defender, great leader. I think that will depend on how well Michigan plays if he's in that list. But talk about the guard deal, though, because I was kind of interested in that. I just think AO is big time, man. And I think Illinois is going to shock some people this year.
Yeah, I mean, at the guard position, look, if Xavier Simpson develops any semblance of quality offense, You know, you could easily put him on the first team with Cash, and that's not even a question. He's that talented of a player, in my opinion, the second best complete point guard in the Big Ten, other than, you know, Cassius Winston. And I think that you could have definitely made a case a whole bunch of different ways as far as the guards. I think Illinois, I think Dosunmu may be a slight product of the system, slight product of that defense that Illinois runs, and a product of being really the only offensive threat on that team last season. And so we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, between him and Cassius and Xavier and Colin, I just feel like he's going to take on a bigger role with Bruno Fernando leaving, and that's going to be a scoring. If he can cut down on the turnovers, I mean, he may even if Maryland pushes Michigan State to the brink, you know, he could even win player of the year because, like I said, Cassius' numbers are going to go down. And he was and Colin was one of those guys that I looked at as maybe taking Winston's crown.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think Colin and Wesson, if Purdue and Ohio State have really good years and, you know, they push Michigan State, which, look, could happen. Stranger things have happened. I don't see it happening. But, you know, wild things happen in college sports. They happen in sports in general. Wesson's going to be big time this year. I mean, he was great last year, and he's just a complete threat offensively for them. I think he's improved his shooting. Obviously, he plays in the Kingdom Summer Pro-Am. And, look, I don't want to get over the top of these Pro-Ams because I think I'd fall for it a little bit because Marcus Bingham was so good in the Moneyball Pro-Am. And then I watched some more clips, and I'm like, is anyone out there playing defense? So I don't want to get over the top. But at the same time, when you see a big man that can shoot from outside like Bingham was, consistently hitting threes, and you looked at Caleb Wesson in his Pro-Am, really handling the ball better, shooting from outside better, not just a post presence, you kind of say, wow, you know, this is a stretch four player in Caleb Wesson. And he was kind of a consistent shooter, but correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like most of his buckets last year were inside.
Yeah, he I mean, he's definitely more of a banger, and you don't get in the absence of Bruno Fernando and the absence of Nick Ward. I think that's going to just make Wesson's stars shine that much brighter. And Jordan Murphy's gone too from Minnesota, and I mean, they still have quality bigs there, and obviously Tillman's a quality big, but you know, you don't have those guys that can sit there and that can bang with Wesson, and so I think that's just going to open him up in Big Ten play. And you know, Ohio State also has the weapons outside. I think they're going to be a very underrated team going into this season, just because I don't think anybody can hang with Caleb Wesson. And then top that off, you know, he's going to be kicking it out to his brother who can shoot. Ohio State's got a bunch of shooters, and so you can't necessarily just double him, and so it makes things a lot more complicated for how you plan on defending Ohio State.
No, they recruited outstandingly, too. I mean, I think I just read that second or third best recruiting class in the Big Ten this season, ranked very high in that regard. And it's just vital. I mean, I want to talk about that recruiting real quick, but I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so let's finish up on Michigan State and Michigan, of course. But recruiting, I mean, it seemed to me that Ohio State maybe fell off a little bit in that regard. Now they're coming back. So they're a team to look out for. Very similar to Illinois, the way they're excited about their recruiting. I mean, for me in recruiting, you know how I stand, Tyler. I just want to see results on the court. I mean, I don't care if you're a minus 10 star. If you come out and you score 15 a game, if you're an unknown and you kill it like a Nick Stauskas, I really don't care, you know, how highly touted you are. But I do think it matters. I mean, I think it's still part of the game. Would you agree that, you know, Ohio State, they've recruited better, and really, you know how good they were under Thad Mata, and recruiting was everything for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's kind of the same situation we talked about earlier with Howard in regards to recruiting, is that some people may just want to wait and see what the coach brings to the table, and they're waiting and seeing with Ohio State, and they're seeing results, and I think that's why you're seeing the recruits go there, just like they did under Matt. You know, they left when Matta did, and now that, you know, Ohio State's starting to be a little bit successful, you're starting to see the recruits start going back to the Scarlet and Gray.
Yeah, you know, you just seen them win the TBT and win all the millions of dollars there. So, you know, they're former Ohio State players.
Yeah, that helps,
put together
too.
A team. Yeah, well, William Buford, you know I love him for a certain reason. But I know a lot of Michigan fans love William Buford, too. And I know you know exactly why, but I don't want to get ruffle any more feathers on this show. But, you know, the Toledo native William Buford with the jump shot that pretty much was everything for Michigan basketball, because he hits that shot against Sparty, they win, then we have the tie, the three-way tie in the Big Ten. But Ohio State had some great players, man. I mean, they really did. And I think they're trying to get back to that level of recruiting. Let's end on Michigan, Michigan State, of course. I mean, I don't want to do some crazy early season prediction. You know how I get carried away with that. But a couple things to say about both. Let's say one thing that you think will surprise people from Michigan State and also Michigan. I know I'm kind of throwing you a little curveball here, but I think you obviously have the primetime knowledge of both. What's one thing you think will be surprising that people will see from both? And I'll give you mine.
I think it's going to be, for Michigan, I think it's the surprise, the consistent offense that you're going to get from Isaiah Livers and Xavier Simpson. I mean, Livers can obviously score, but I think the combination of the two is going to be ample enough for Michigan to do a lot of damage in the Big Ten. And, you know, I've got them being a three or four, finishing third or fourth in the conference. And so I think that that's a big one for Michigan. For Michigan State, I think it's going to be early season struggles. They have five bigs that are all capable of playing that they want to play, Bingham, Pithier, Tillman, Hall, and Marble. And then they talked about sliding Brown over there. I think that you're going to see some early season losses just as Izzo tries to find out the right group. But, you know, at the end of the year, come Big Ten play, you know, you get who you're going to get. I don't think, like I said, Brown can play at the four position, especially while Langford's trying to get his stuff together as far as getting back to 100%. But I think that you'll see some early season struggles with the Spartans. I think you'll see a little bit of an ego, and I've got a feeling that's going to get knocked out of them soon, and they'll be playing with the same intensity that got them to the Final Four last season, about, I want to say, a quarter of the way through the year.
Sure. No, I think that was – I'll stay with Michigan State. I think you're absolutely right. I think even though Nick Ward wasn't, you know, big time all the time, I think that's another piece you lose. And I think Matt McQuay, they're really going to miss him on defense, and people forget that, how great of a defender he was. We raved about it last year. You really opened my eyes to it right away, and I was full on board with that statement. And he also could score.
Okay,
the ball
well,
sometimes.
I'll make another one for you to open your eyes right away. I think Aaron Henry replaces Matt McQuaid as the shutdown defender and just does as good, if not better.
No, I think that, you know, you could be right. But I think early season, I think you won't see it as a high level the way McQuaid did it. I mean, I think he was very underrated. And I think you also, the early season struggles, yeah, because you lose a couple pieces. And Kenny Goins was a great stretch four. And I think that the four is a position they're still not sure on. So I think you're absolutely right. Early season struggles, nothing to get carried away over. But, you know, they won't play great. They'll probably still win, you know, maybe all their games, and if they slip up one or two, you know, it will just be because of, like you said, early season struggles. I can see them struggling and still winning every game. So on that statement, they're still going to be darn good. On Michigan, I think the one thing you're going to see that's very surprising is I think they're going to play much bigger. I think you're going to see them playing lineups with a lot more size, with Castleton, Teske, Johns. They've been talking about this a lot, where you're going to see very big lineups. It's going to be a much different style. This is going to be a physical defensive team, which they were getting better at, and they were good at the last few, but this is going to be a very physical basketball team. This is going to be a lot of what Juwan had as a player, high-low situations. They're going to try to pound the ball inside of Teske. They're already talking about it a lot. They want him to be the scorer. I think people will be surprised by that. It will not be an outside basketball team. This will not be a Chuck 3 team. This will be a, you know, screen and roll. Let's get the ball inside. Let's pound it. and let's drive the basketball. I think you'll also see what you mentioned him earlier. I think David DeJulius will be a good off guard. I think you'll see him playing on the wing. He's a very good defender, even though he's shorter. He's strong as they come. Mm-hmm. Looks like a fullback out there. So I think you will see a physical brand of basketball that's much different than what you're used to under Beeline. But in the end, I think it, I wouldn't say mediocre, but it's NCAA tournament or bust. And I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it, but I think it's national title or bust for Michigan State because the expectations are so high. I don't think they're necessarily fair because at NCAA tournament, anything can happen, but here we are. But I'm excited, Tyler. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited for basketball. It's such a different attitude. We have to deal with the football madness all the time, and this is such a better feel because, obviously, we love the game, but we love the rivalry in Michigan-Michigan State basketball because it's just so much more pure. It's not the craziness you see. But we'll get back on football. Don't worry. We'll break down the Wisconsin-Spartan game this weekend. Michigan obviously has a cupcake in Illinois. Oh, they'll be just loving it. And Shea Patterson will be back on the Heisman trail after he throws for 300 yards this weekend. And then they'll get their butts kicked next weekend against Penn State. So those are my predictions, Tyler, for the next 2 weeks.
All right, we'll be sure to mark them down.
Well, we'll talk. Let's talk some Wisconsin, though, you know, in the next few days, Tyler. I know that people still want to hear it. I know football. Look, the season's not over. Michigan State's still got a lot to play for, and so does Michigan. Yep. So, but it isn't very refreshing to talk some hoops. Again, Tyler and I will always bring this rivalry front and center. We'll try to keep the debates less and less. This is not necessarily a debate show. This is a show based on knowledge of both teams. Factual reporting. We don't like to get into this crazy madness that is the media now. And there's, we're not, you know, it's easy to fall into the trend. You know, me and Tyler talked about this earlier. You know, you want to talk about things like Curtis Blackwell. You know what? No, we're not going to go that route. I've already decided not to. I made my little statement.
This is the third time you brought him up, man.
I brought him up, and I'm not bringing up my opinion on it anymore. I said I had an opinion, but I haven't really given it. So at this point,
so
I guess I'm not going to share my
for
opinion.
Michigan State basketball in the cards, and, you know, Michigan, we'll see what they can do if they can stay playing at their high level. That does it for us here on the starting lineup for J-File. I'm Tyler Hayward. Talk to you soon.
Oh, I thought we were ending. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but I appreciate it, Tyler. You know, look, man, we'll get into it. Thanks for tuning in. Follow the Facebook page, please, Troubled Snap Podcast. If you want to be on the show, look, call it. Guest call in 858-956-3207. We'll get you on the show. You can talk Spartans. You can talk Wolverines. I mean, come on. Get on this thing. Don't just be a typewriter, keyboard warrior. Say what you want to say about both schools, and we would be glad to talk some Wolverine and Spartan hoops and basketball with you. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody, with Troubled Snap. For Tyler Hayward, I'm J-File. Thanks for tuning in.